Tonight my lesson is about how much should we value our kids, our children. So this is what I prepared for myself before I have this kid. And I was encouraged by it, and I wanted to share this lesson to you all. So we know a lot of scriptures that mentions that God is giving each kid. God knows that the souls before he sends them into the world. For example, God knew Jeremiah even before he put him in his mother's womb, as he said. So definitely we should pray for good souls for our children. But also, like Manava asked, please teach us how to train our kid in Judges chapter 13. So we should think what we should to do to teach our kids. So there are several things we need to think about ahead of time. One is, how are we going to protect them from evil influences? As we studied this morning in Brother John's lesson, that abstaining from evil, like, parents have a very big role about that toward our kids. Same thing we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, that evil communication can corrupt good manners. So another thing we need to think about ahead of time is, how can we prepare our own hearts to train our own kids well? So sometimes people are waiting to have kids until they settle their life first to have kids. So it's all physical judgment and physical reasons. But tonight, the example which I'm going to show, that God made them to wait for 25 years after he gave them a promise to give them a kid. So let's see who these examples are and how God helped them prepare by helping them come away from evil, and also by preparing their hearts. So you all got the idea who I'm talking about. So yes, it's Abraham and Isaac. So how did God help Abraham to protect Isaac? So you can read in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. And he said, "Men and brethren and father, Jacob, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein he would now dwell." So first God commanded Abraham to leave from his country when he was in Mesopotamia. And then later, God also took him away from all his family except Lot when Abraham left Haran in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. So question is, why did God ask him to come out of his country? What was Abraham's dad doing? So you can read it in Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 to 3. Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 and 3. And Joshua said unto all the people, that thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So first, God made Abraham come out of the city because they were all idol worshippers. If Abraham had stayed in the same place, same city, what kind of influence would Isaac have had? So what if Abraham had stayed with his father? God took Abraham's father also. Why? Because his father was also an idol worshipper. So what kind of influence would Isaac have had if he had been raised with his granddad? Then see now, how is God taking away Lot from Abraham? In Genesis chapter 13, God brought up a situation making a conflict between Abraham's servant and Lot's servants. By this situation, God separated Lot's family from Abraham. Why did God separate Lot? Even though he was a righteous man, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. But the question is, what about his wife? What kind of influence would Isaac have had if he had been grown around Lot's wife? In Genesis chapter 19, you all know that God told that Lot's wife looked back at Sodom when he commanded her not to look. So she loved the things of this world. It could be any reason that she turned back and looked, but still, she valued the things more than God's commandment. So what if Isaac had grown up with people who loved the world and things of the world? So now, after Isaac was born, God sent Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. Why did he send them away? What had God promised about Ishmael? In Genesis chapter 16, verse 12, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So Ishmael was going to be a wild man and causing fights with people. We see even a child, Sarah saw Ishmael, was mocking in Genesis chapter 21, verses 9 to 10. And Sarah saw son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac. So what Isaac had grown up around someone who was wild and mocking and being a wicked. You know, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fool shall be destroyed. So now, who is Isaac left with? So if God take away all Abraham's dad, and also he took all Lot's family, and also he took Hagar and his child, so who is left with Isaac now? Abraham and Sarah. So what were they like? You know what God said about them. They are the dad and the mother for people who are faithful, right? So what are you thinking about raising with that kind of people? If your child is raising with that kind of people, what kind of child will be that? But what did God to do prepare them to be like that? So how God prepared Abraham and Sarah's hearts before Isaac was born? It was not just one day that God had been working with them. God had been working with them for 25 years after he had made the promise to Abraham. In chapter 18, what did God know about Abraham? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. So God said he knew that Abraham would teach his children to keep the way of the Lord. God said this in chapter 18. But why didn't God say this when Abram was coming out of Mesopotamia in chapter 12? Or any other time before this? So at what point did God come to know that Abram would be faithful? How did Abram grow to this point? How much faith did Abram have when he left his country in chapter 12? Yes, he believed the Lord and his promises. Yes, God counted him as righteous. But when he's making the promises over and over, we can see how God was working with Abraham's faith. So when first time he's mentioning the promise in chapter 12, he believed God and God counted him as righteous. And he's mentioning the same promise second time in Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. We can read that, Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine year, and he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and God, and he counted him it to him for righteousness. So third time God made the promise, same thing over. So this was second time. Now God is going to make the same promise in third time in Genesis chapter 17, and see what is Abraham's doing here. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 to 17, And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall a Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So Abraham laughed when God said, Sarah will bear. So far God had mentioned, you will have a son, but God had not mentioned about Sarah. This is the first time God is mentioning about Sarah will have a child. So now when he mentioned Sarah will have a kid, Abraham laughed. So now God starts to build up Abraham's faith. In verse 19, And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So now God is giving same promise, but in four different ways. He said, Sarah will have a son. So far, he said, you have a kid, but he never mentioned about the son. And now he's naming the son as Isaac. And now he said, I will make a covenant with him and also with the seed. So this makes Abraham to believe what God promised him about. So we can see after this in Romans 4, how strong Abraham's faith grew to be. In Romans chapter 4 verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. You can read also from 18 to 19 that how many temptations that Abraham had faced in that years. So God also commanded Abraham in chapter 17 to walk before him and be perfect. We can read in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1 and 2. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. So God commanded Abraham to be perfect. That was Abraham's part of the covenant that he needed to keep in order to God to fulfill his part. Did Abraham keep that and become perfect like God told him? So by chapter 18, what God is telling now about Abraham, he said he know now that he will teach to his kids, his children, and his household. So how Abraham had grown to the point that God could trust him, that God knew that he would keep his part of the covenant and teach that to his children. So also that God is working with Sarah's faith in the same way that he had worked with Abraham's faith too. Why does God send angels to repeat the same promise again in chapter 18? This is not for Abraham, but it is for Sarah. We can read in Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" So see, she's doing same thing what Abraham did in was chapter 17. She's also laughing. But after God built up Abraham's faith, in this chapter, Abraham was not laughing, but Sarah was laughing. So why God sent these angels for angels in this chapter? It's not for Abraham, it's definitely for Sarah. So see how was God forming Sarah's heart. When Sarah received Isaac, as God has promised, this strengthened her faith to point that she believed the rest of the God's promises. Even she believed it to the point to cast the bondwoman and the son in chapter 20. And she was the one who wanted to cast out the bondwoman. But Abraham was not happy about that. But God stood for Sarah to send off the bondwoman and the son to not to hinder it with Isaac. So we can see how Sarah's faith was built to the point to that God promised had to become only to Isaac, not to Ishmael. So question is so far, why God supposed to do this many things to protect Isaac? He's making Abraham's dad to die and separating Lot from Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael from Abraham, and forming Abraham's and Sarah's heart. Why all God is doing this for? Why he needs to protect Isaac? You know, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, it gives the answer. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as one, that to thy seed which is Christ." God was trying to protect Isaac that Christ could come. So let us ask these questions to ourselves from this lesson, that how are we going to protect our own kids? God took away Abraham's dad so Isaac could not grow up with the influence of idol worshiping. So what if our parents are not faithful Christians? How much communication should our kids have with influences like that? Because God took Abraham's dad away, there was no idol worship in Abraham's family, so Isaac was raised with completely good influence. What if our kids are raised up with people who love the world and things of the world? What is this television teaching us today? Is it okay if I'm allowing my kid to watch it because my kid is bored? Or what if we are allowing the kids, allowing the kind of influence to teach our kids to love the world? What if I'm reading all the storybooks to my kid or letting them to read all the stories or look up all the stories in the internet? And what these all stories are teaching to my kids to love this world? So what is the problem of faithful Christian children loving this world? As we read in 1 Corinthians 15:33 before, that it corrupts the good manner. We studied a lot about the come out among the world from Brother Yon's lesson, that how much that influences, that how about Josaphat and Ahab and his family, how it's corrupted because of marrying somebody who is not a Christian or is not following God. So these are all giving a lot of encouragement that how we supposed to protect our kids. So what if our parents are not coming out of the world and not involving and are involving our kids into the weaknesses, same thing what the parents have? Abraham had to come out of the Mesopotamia before God made him the promise about Isaac in order for that promise to work. What about us? Are we going to come out among the world to make the example to my kid to follow my example? How about preparing our hearts? How much did Abraham and Sarah's hearts need to be formed before Isaac was born? How much understanding and wisdom should we get from God's word and prepare ourselves before a kid was born? What if our kids are seeing our own weaknesses? Outwardly, before others, we can act right, but in the home, we're supposed to show our own hearts. Is that what? Then what the message that my kid is getting from me? Is getting I'm a hypocrite. So then how are they going to act? They're going to act also hypocrite. So it depends on our parents, our part, that we need to be more faithful, like our Abraham, and how God prepared Abraham and Sarah's heart that Isaac could raise up in a good manner. So we need to consider our own ways, and we need to check our own hearts, that are we setting good examples before the kids, no matter whatever it is. God concerned about Isaac's generation because of Christ. So when I'm looking at my kid, do I need to just look at my kid or look up also the generation from the kids? So I need to care for the generations also. You know, Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, God made the wedding and the marriage and the kid for godly seed to be produced. So we need to consider for just not for children, also the generation after the children. Thank you.